Michael Casey premiering this weekend in theaters is a brand new film called Polite Society.
Yes, and this is the feature debut from writer-director Nita Mansour. She had quite a bit of success when this played at Sundance a couple of months back. And this is a fun and funny movie that I think a lot of people will enjoy, but there is a caveat, and we'll get to that here in a second. But let's back up and talk a little bit about the story. So this is set in modern day London, and it concerns a couple of British Pakistani families. The main character here is Ria, played by Priyana Kansara, and she is a high school student, a teenager who dreams of being a stunt woman someday. You know, she sleeps under a poster of Eunice Huthart, who is a famous stunt woman who works for like Disney right now. She has her own YouTube channel that she produces, where she does like her moves and shows off her abilities. It's called Khan Fu. Her last name is Khan. And she has this real independent streak to her. She has a lot of feistiness to her, a lot of fire. She calls herself the Fury a lot. And it's fitting. Her older sister is Lena, played by Ritu Aira. And she's an artist, or I should say that she thought she was an artist, and she's not so sure that she has what it takes. She's kind of our school dropout who's looking for something to go on in her life. And it's really important to Ria that both of them have this goal, this independent streak to them. So it's not just enough that she wants to be a stunt woman, but she must have Lena with her as an artist and that they are independent women. And so it's a real betrayal when Lena decides that she's going to take a fiance. The fiance here is Salim, played by Akshay Khanna. And he's a very good looking, very fit. He's wealthy. He's a doctor who takes care of women's pregnancies. He's got all the right trappings, because you might imagine. And so, of course, Ria thinks that there's, you know, a chicanery is in play here, and that there is, you know, like all this sort of deception, and that there's all kinds of dark forces that she needs to fight. I should say that this movie is very comic booky. It's kind of this weird smash up of like Jane Austen and spaghetti westerns and Looney Tunes and Jackie Chan. It's got this very heightened style to it, a lot of fast cuts, a lot of slow motion. There are five chapters in this movie, and each one is presented with a big title card and dramatic music. When the characters fight, they fight kind of like Scott Pilgrim or Dragon Ball Z characters. And of course, each time there's a fight, there's the title cards of Khan versus blah. And like that all is great. And you get this idea that this is all kind of in Ria's head, because she talks about how she has this overactive imagination that really kind of vexes her two parents. Her two parents here are played by Shobhu Kapoor and Jeff Mraz. And they're great because they're kind of just going with it. They have two very headstrong daughters here, and they just want them to kind of fit into polite society. So this is really a movie that has a lot to do with culture and upward mobility and like the fight for and against like traditionalism. And there's always this subversion of like expectations or assumptions and like what's really happening underneath. And that part of the movie is really good. And that is what drives the narrative for at least an hour. I will say that my hesitation with this movie is that there is a twist. This movie takes a hard left turn that is not necessarily out of nowhere. It just seems misbalanced with what the rest of the movie is going for. So there is a reveal. Ria does suspect that there is some chicanery afoot, and there is, but it is very dark and quite icky, actually. That doesn't really seem to match up with the rest of the movie, which is much more lighthearted, much more playful. It's a very feisty movie. And Mansour does a good job of putting all these characters in the right place and presenting them so that they each have their own unique voice, that they really kind of stand out in a room full of them. And these are very well designed and decorated rooms. The set design and the costuming here is spectacular. And the director does bring things back to the core story of the two sisters at the end. But I'm telling you, that twist, boy, it leaves quite an aftertaste. But if you're in for some fun, if you like to watch some action, I do think that you will like most of Polite Society. That is out now in wide release, so it is playing theaters everywhere.
Well, Michael Casey, there's a new program on the Criterion Channel that's premiering in May, and this is something that's piquing your interest. It explores Anthony Mann directing James Stewart. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Yeah, this is one of the great collaborations in the history of Hollywood cinema. So James Stewart, everyone knows him as Jimmy. He was the aw shucks guy that, you know, he was Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, It's a Wonderful Life, Harvey. he was kind of like the everyday American male sort of figure. He was upstanding. He was moral. He was fun. He was from small towns. He never got too big for his britches sort of thing. Fascinating actor to know about his real life and what he portrayed on screen. But the movies that he made, I think are like, they're emblematic of what Hollywood does. But then in 1940, he enlisted in the Army Air Corps and he went to World War II. Now, most of Hollywood went to World War II in some capacity, whether they were just moving war bonds or if they're protecting the home front or like raising the troop morale sort of thing. A lot of them did go and serve actually in combat. But Stewart was a big actor, nominated for an Academy Award for Philadelphia Story before he went. And he went and he flew combat missions over Germany. He flew 20 in all. It was a really big part of his life. And when he come back, you could really see that he had changed both as a person and a performer. And you can really see that when you compare the movies that he made before his service in World War II and the ones after. And the ones after the ones we're going to talk about, because he teamed up with a director by the name of Anthony Mann. He made this cycle of 8 films. 5 of them are Westerns that are really just push the genre in a whole nother way and really gives you an idea of where America was at in the 1950s as opposed to where it was before. The first movie that they made together was a movie called Winchester 73. It's about a rifle that was made in 1873, this very famous gun that'll shoot true every time. And it becomes the kind of thing that everyone wants. They all want this particular rifle. And the rifle passes from hand to hand around this movie in a very circular fashion, but it's like a pox. Everyone who comes in contact with the gun dies because, you know, gun violence and all this other kind of stuff. Interesting thing that a lot of these Westerns movies really deal with the idea of gun control, about who's allowed to have guns, who's restricted from access. That's kind of a basis for a lot of these movies, even the ones that really revolve around a specific rifle itself, which is this one. Stewart plays a character who is just at the brink of madness. He is trying to be a good person in a very corrupt world, but the world will push him to the point of cruelty, and Stewart is really good. It is kind of surprising to see like Mr., you know, Jefferson Smith become this kind of a person, but I think that's the point. That's the idea that the casting here is half of the performance, that you're seeing someone who used to believe so deeply in all of these American values is now having to turn to be this corrupt. What is it? It's violence. It's war. It's what makes a good person and takes them to absolute brink of stuff. That's a great movie. It's also fascinating that is the first Western that Stewart made after the war. The Western he made before the war was a movie called Destry Rides Again. Very funny comedy, light comedy, very fitting with James Stewart's career. But in that one, he doesn't wear a gun. So, you know, like it's almost as if he's playing with his own persona the entire time through these movies. They're all very good movies. I will say that one that you definitely want to check out because it was actually shot on CU campuses Boulder is the Glenn Miller story about the jazz trumpeter, Glenn Miller, who also went to war. June Allison plays his love interest, and they were filmed on campus. You'll notice a lot of the shots, especially the bridge over the pond that's next to Mackey Auditorium. Lots of fun there. This is a really great collection to check out because I think that Mann and Stewart really kind of were in tune, as opposed to, there's a lot of times you can't say that of about a filmmaker and an actor. Anthony Mann, before he started making these movies with Jimmy Stewart, was a pretty renowned noir director. He was born in San Diego. He was educated in New York. He was a city dweller. The noir movies are very urban. They have that kind of the shadowy side of the street aspect to them. So when Stewart says, hey, let's go out to the West, let's go out to the frontier and take what you're doing there and what I want to do here, let's put them together and see what comes of it. Really fascinating stuff. You want to check this one out if you have a subscription to the Criterion Channel. All 8 films will be streaming. It'll start on May 1st. And that is Anthony Mann directs James Stewart. And it is something you want to check out.
Well, Michael Casey, for more information about you and for your reviews, where can people go?
You can go to boulderweekly.com. It's online worldwide. If you're in Boulder County, go ahead and pick up the paper. There's more in this week about the collaboration between Anthony Mann and James Stewart, if you want to get into a little bit more of the nitty-gritty there. If you want more on Polite Society, you have to go to michaeljcinema.com. More on my thoughts about my movie and the twist there, as well as years worth of movie reviews, streaming suggestions, interview with filmmakers. That's all at michaeljcinema.com.